461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. It is always a privilege and an honor for me to do so. Dr. Youngblood has such a great show. And those of you who are frequent listeners have heard me in times past. I would be a guest on Dr. Youngblood's show and would offer various commentation on issues of the day. Well, today I have the honor and pleasure of hosting the entire show, so I will be with you for the next hour. I look forward to your phone calls. If you would like to call in and participate on any of the items we're going to be discussing, call-in number is 904-831-0917. Again, I'm Mike Hill. I'm from the Pensacola, Florida area. Here, I own a small business insurance and financial services agency. I've been doing that for 36 years now. Prior to that, I was an officer, active duty Air Force, after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I also served in the Florida State House the years from 2013 to 2020. So now that I am out of politics as an elected official, I now focus primarily on my small business, the Insurance and Financial Services Agency. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all your homeowner and professional backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Online, they can be reached at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. We're going to be discussing many items today. And again, I look forward to you joining our discussion simply by calling in at 904- 831-0917. I received what's called a daily market monitor. It's emailed to me daily, partly because of my position as an investment advisor representative. And one thing I noted today from this daily market monitor, and those of you who keep up with it have probably noticed it also, but the Dow Jones has hit 50,000 again today. In fact, it broke its all-time high record of 50,009.35. The S&P 500 is well over what used to be the high of 7,000. It is now 7,432. Gold is trading at $4,535 an ounce, and crude oil, WTI, is down a little bit. It's at 98.26. I believe that the cost of crude oil is going to be coming down once this entire issue with Iran is going to be taken care of. And despite what Congress has done recently, I think it was just yesterday, the Senate voted to say that you have to bring the troops home unless you to Trump, they're telling Trump, as the commander-in-chief of our military, you have to bring the troops home unless we authorize you to stay further, to stay there any longer. So, meaning we'll cut off all your money. You know, and it's a shame. One reason why this passed is because Senator Cassidy from Louisiana, as a sign of sour grapes, who lost his primary just recently to a Trump supporter and someone who Trump endorsed. And so they beat Cassidy pretty handily. He didn't make the runoffs. He was, I believe, in third place. And as a show of sour grapes, he joined Lisa Murkowski, Senator Collins from Maine himself, and of course all the Democrats. They voted to put this block on telling Trump, come home now from Iran, instead of, because of the resources which have already been placed into this conflict, which, by the way, the military has been operating magnificently. They're doing an awesome job, an awesome display of power that the world hasn't seen in some time, with very little casualties at all. A complete dominance, not only over Iran, but what you have to keep in mind is that Iran gets a lot of its munitions and its intelligence from both China and Russia. And so it's been displayed, much like it was in Venezuela not too long ago, when the U.S. came in there and arrested Maduro, who also had China and Russian-supplied military assets, that it didn't work against the U.S. military. It was ineffective. And we're finding now that the Iranians are unable to attack directly military assets. They have to go after assets that are in neighboring countries who are friendly to the U.S., such as United Arab Emirates and also Saudi Arabia. So Trump was going to lower the boom on Iran this past Tuesday, but because of appeals of countries that are friendly to the U.S. in the area, saying, hey, we're getting really close, please don't do it right now, just hold off. So Trump did. And so here we are in a position of where Iran is about to fold, and what does our Congress do? Tell Trump to come home. It doesn't even make sense. Well, of course that won't happen right away. It's impossible for that to happen right away, to just move assets like that at a moment's notice. But it's a shame that Trump not only has to fight his enemies abroad, we have to fight enemies at home too, including in our own Congress, all the Democrats, plus a few rhinos who are Republican in name only. And we can call them out. That's Murkowski from Alaska and Collins from Maine. Both really need to retire. either that or just go ahead and file under who you really are. You're Democrats. Whenever there's a key, very key issue, they almost always vote with the Democrats. When it's other small things that are not as critical, they will vote with the Republicans, but on key issues like this, they will always vote with the Democrats. And it's such a shame. That's why I say that just go. But they know if they run as Republicans, they can't win. I'm sorry, if they run as Democrats, they can't win. So they run as Republicans. Enough people who are Republican are fooled and will vote for them simply because they have an R behind their name. But it's such a shame that when we actually need them, they will turn their back on us. So here we are with the Dow Jones sitting at $50,000. Not $50,000. Sitting at its close of $50,000. Here it is at $50,000. Now, Trump made a statement not too long ago that he expects that to hit 100,000 before his current term is over. And I thought, my goodness, that would be amazing if it were to hit 50,000, I'm sorry, 100,000 before Trump term ends. So I thought, how on earth can that happen? How on earth can it hit 100,000? We'll discuss that, but we have a caller right now on line two. Jim, what is your comment or question, please?
Hey, Mr. Hill, how are you today?
Jim, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Murkowski, to be quite honest with you, she should not be Senator of Alaska. Just as a reminder to the listening audience there, Alaska had ranked choice voting. She actually lost her primary and then ran as an independent and squeaked in. And that was during that period where all the other shenanigans were going on during the Biden administration, particularly with vote by mail and other nefarious issues there.
Jim, let me just interject there. You are exactly right. She shouldn't even be there. She won by cheating. Her very first time that she won, she was losing in the primaries. And then with their, after the polls closed and they recounted, miraculously she came ahead and beat her primary opponent. But from the very beginning, and you're right, more recently, she shouldn't even be there, period.
Well, she was appointed. She's never won an outright vote. I think she got her Senate seat because the previous senator retired and the governor of Alaska, I think, appointed her, if I remember correctly. I'd have
That's
to do
right.
research, but I'm pretty sure she's never won an outright primary or a majority vote.
You're absolutely right, Jim. Great point you made there. Any other comments you would like to add?
Collins is always going to be Collins. Cassidy is showing he's showing exactly why he was primaried out and didn't even make the top two. His current display of behavior right now with this vote makes perfectly clear why he's completely ineligible in every shape, way, and form to be a senator from Louisiana.
That's right. You know, he didn't vote to adhere to his oath of office. He didn't show any fidelity to that at all. But
no.
Instead, this was a stab at President Trump, a stab in the back, by the way, of that I'll show you, and vote it. But this is going to affect the entire United States, not simply his vendetta against Trump. And you're right, it shows why he needs to go and should not be in politics at any level anymore.
No. To me, the Senate should have no say at all whenever it comes to the armed forces. The second title for the president, other than being Mr. President, is Commander-in-Chief.
That's right.
The budget is established by the House, but the Senate should have absolutely zero say in anything whenever it comes to international treaty other than ratification and the military. Zero.
You're right. Absolutely. Great point you're making there. And, you know, I'm not sure if on this resolution that they passed, if it needs to go before the House. I'm not sure. And if it does, I suspect that it will fail in the House. And by the way, there were three Republican senators who did not vote. Fetterman voted with the Republicans. The final vote was 50-47, telling Trump that he could no longer continue in Iran. But there were three Republican senators who did not vote because they were campaigning at the time. I know in Alabama, Tuberfield, he was one of them. But this raises another issue. And that, Jim, is that the reason this vote came forward is because Thune scheduled it. As a Senate president, he scheduled it. He won't schedule a vote to end the filibuster. He won't schedule a vote to the SAVE Act. He won't do that. But he did schedule this vote at a time when he knew there were going to be Republican senators out on the campaign trail. He scheduled this one. Thune is another one who needs to go. He's a never-Trumper. He does not like or appreciate what Trump is doing for this country, and he should not be the Senate president right now leading Republicans in that body.
I would 100% absolutely agree. That's quite interesting that you said three were out. That would have made it a 50-50 vote with the tie going to the president of the Senate, which is our vice president, Vance. So
that's right.
Yeah. Thune is absolutely playing some backstabbing shenanigans there as well. Him with the SAVE Act is... That's when I completely lost any faith I had in him as Senate leader. And I thought he was marginally better than McConnell. I want to call him McTurtle for some reason, but McConnell. So, he needs to go, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do know that McConnell, of course, is retiring. He won't be back after this November. Thank goodness. About the only good thing, well, let me not say that, but I would say one of the prominent good things that McConnell did when he was in the Senate is he blocked Merrick Garland from being on a Supreme Court. Could you imagine that little weasel being on a Supreme Court? But thank goodness McConnell blocked that. That was one of the good things that he did. Other than that, I thought, was a politician through and through, working his behind-the-scenes turmoil because he had the funds to fund a lot of other senatorial campaigns. But thank goodness he's going to be out of the picture. Speaking of, Trump caused Thune to just about go into a rage when he endorsed Paxton for the Senate race in Texas over John Cornyn, who needs to go.
Yeah, and he's another rival.
Thune was so upset about that because they put a lot of money behind Cornyn for him to be reelected. But Trump speaking, giving that endorsement, as he has proven this past Tuesday, carries a tremendous amount of weight. It's worth an awful lot of money to whoever he endorses, as we saw with Thomas Massie losing his House race because Trump's endorsement for, I think his name is pronounced Gallarine.
Gallarine, yeah. He's the ex-Navy
SEAL. Trump's endorsement of that young man who won the race. And they spent more money than any other congressional race in history. Massey had tens of millions. Gallarine had tens of millions. But Trump putting his thumb on the scale, it went to Gallarine by, I think it was close to 10 points. So
when Trump said
he was going to endorse Paxton over Corin, Thune became enraged because he knows that that now means that Corin is in a position of losing that Senate race now.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree with that. I'm wondering why they didn't see the writing on the wall when the Indiana Senate flipped, 5 of 7 seats because of their refusal to look at redistricting in the Republican-held Senate of Indiana. You think they would have looked at that and said, you know, maybe Trump's endorsement's a little bit more than we thought it was there, and stepped back and scratched their chin a little bit instead of sticking their neck out so far.
You would have thought, yeah. Jim, but they probably had already committed, and so they kept on, and then they probably thought that might have just been an anomaly, and you know, it's just that one state, but Trump has proven it over several states over this this past Tuesday. I think of all those who he endorsed, I would say all of them won, except for maybe one or two. But you're right. It wasn't just an anomaly in one state. Trump's endorsement carries a ton of weight. And we'll see where that goes. Jim, thank you so much for calling
me
in.
Sir.
I always appreciate
you.
When you call in the show. Your insight is very valuable that we have here. Now, I've noticed an article here, this comes from the Washington Stand, that the indicted Southern Poverty Law Center is now on a congressional hot seat over funding the KKK and other groups. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot make this up. The Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, originally started back in the late 60s, perhaps it was the early 70s, and at that time, their charter was to root out hate groups who were against the blacks voting, against the black community in general. And at that time, of course, those were all Democrats who were doing that, including the KKK. Those are all Democrats. And so the SPLC was started to identify hate groups that were working against not only the black community, but also the Jewish community, against Catholics. And so they were naming these hate groups. But starting back in 2010, the SPLC really lost their way. They lost their charter. I know that the CEO, if you can call him that, or president, whatever his title is, SPLC, he was removed after being at least accused of both racism. He was a white guy. And some of the people who worked, black people who worked in SPLC, accused him of racism. They accused him of sexism. And so he left the organization. At that time, you can say that the leftist radicals, part of the Democrat Party, actually took over the SPLC, such that they even announced that the, a group started by Jordan out of Louisiana, former congressman, the his organization was called the Family Research Council, that the SPLC named the Family Research Council as a hate group. And because of that, a leftist radical went to their headquarters in Washington, D.C. and tried to commit a mass shooting crime. I believe he shot a guard who's up front, wounded another before he was stopped. But it was all because of the Southern Poverty Law Center calling out the Family Research Council as a hate group when they are the furthest thing from that. That they are a Christian-based organization whose mission is to bring Christian values into politics and into the culture, bring it back into America. So the SPLC named them as a hate group. Unbelievable. And so what they have done more recently is it's been found that the entire incident which happened in Charleston, South Carolina, where there was a big ruckus over removing statues in that city. And there were those on the left and on the right who were trying to either, those on the right were trying to keep the statues in place. Those on the left were trying to remove the statues. And of course that started during the Obama administration across the U.S. that they thought that they could change the culture simply by removing a historical and cultural artifact, a piece of stone or a piece of bronze. They were removing these all over the place, but it did not change anything at all. In Boston, they were removing statues. Nothing changed in Boston. Things continued the way they were. Black-on-black crime continued. Unemployment continued. Where nothing changed because they removed those statues. So here they are in Charleston, South Carolina, wanting to remove statues. And President Trump came out and made a statement that there were good people on both sides. In other words, there were good people on the right who were saying, hey, leave the statues up. And there were people with good intentions on the left who say, hey, take the statues down. And unfortunately, there was violence during that time. And the media, the of course, mainstream media painted it as if it was caused by Trump, or that Trump condoned it by saying that there were good people on both sides. Well, come to find out that the Southern Poverty Law Center had financed those on the left, the KKK who were protesting. They financed that. And not only that incident, but others along the way. They financed the KKK and other organizations so that then they could charge them with racism and ask for funding for their organization. Utterly unbelievable. But thank goodness they've been found out, they've been discovered, and they've been indicted by Department of Justice. They've been indicted for fraud related to paying its leaders. They're paying $3 million to the leaders of white supremacist organizations. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Don't change your channel. We're going to continue after our hard break at the top of the show, but we will continue afterwards. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.